Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is the Gospel as was read earlier, with an emphasis on the following verses. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Here ends our text. When you think of power, or of powerful people in this world, what comes to mind? Is it the president, other heads of state, lawmakers, business executives, or other people who have the money to make things happen the way they want them to? Regardless of which individual comes to mind, something that I'm pretty sure no one thought of tonight is a shepherd. Shepherds don't wield influence over national policy, and they don't have an excess of wealth to make decisions go their way. In ancient Egypt, shepherds were the lowest level of society. But in ancient Israel, shepherds were an important part of their society, because shepherds naturally raise sheep. Sheep which have meat for food and wool for clothing. But more importantly, sheep were used as sacrifices in the temple. And these sacrificial lambs held the power because they were the object being sacrificed in place of the people and on behalf of their sins. In today's church, a shepherd holds all of the power. It's not just any shepherd, but the Good Shepherd. Yes, Christ is the one with all of the power to call, the power to destroy, and the power to save. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, gathers his flock together in his arms. He calls us individually by name, and we know his voice. When he calls us by name, he puts his name on us, and we are his. From this earliest moment of our spiritual life, we are safe. We are carried to his bosom, to the Father. And it is in the protection of Christ that we are able to survive all the assaults and trials of this world, which try to wrest us from the safety of the peace and the pardon which was bestowed upon us in our baptism. When I think about those assaults of this world, it always makes me think back to when I was younger. And I'd be in the kitchen with my mom, and she's cooking dinner. She tells me, "Don't touch that burner, because even though the fire's not on, the metal is still hot." But I knew better. No fire means no heat. Now I'm sure everyone, parents and children alike, know where this story is heading. I reach up, touch that metal burner, and immediately regret not listening to my mother. This is what we do every day. Because despite the power of Christ to call us into his flock, we do succumb to the assaults of this world. Not because the world is more powerful than Christ, but because we, being silly little sheep, put our faith in our own power. We, like sheep, go astray from the safety of the sheepfold because we think that we know what's better for us than our shepherd does. But even when we go away, trusting in our own power, or even the power of the world around us, Christ calls us back. He empowers his under-shepherds to speak with his voice and deliver the gifts to us which he has prepared for us. And these gifts, which do include the loving parental reproach of the law, bring us back to the peace and the pardon of Christ and the comfort and safety of the sheepfold. But as much as Christ has the power to bring that peace to his flock, he also has the power to destroy. The grass withers, and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. We know that everything in this world around us was created simply by the word of God. And in the same way, it will all come to an end. But it's not just the grass and the flowers, for surely the people are grass. Christ will return. And when he does, he will call his sheep home to their final sheepfold. And those who have ignored the call of their shepherd will be destroyed. They put their faith in every power except the power of Christ. And on the last day, that power which they have ignored for so long will destroy them by casting them out into the eternal fire, where there is no hope of coming to that peace of Christ which was once available to them. The Good Shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. That statement, it summarizes the purest example of the power of Christ. Everything which Christ did in his time on earth was aimed at him laying down his life for his sheep. He came down out of heaven in order to lay down his life. He was baptized and subsequently fasted and was tempted by the devil in the wilderness in order to lay down his life. He rode triumphant as a king on the colt, the foal of a donkey, into Jerusalem in order to lay down his life. But why? Why does the shepherd have to lay down his life for a few sheep? Because the sheep are helpless. They can try to survive on their own, but without their shepherd, there is nothing which will prevent the wolves of this world from coming and snatching them up and scattering the flock. No matter what they do or how hard they try, the sheep cannot fend off the wolves on their own. But Christ in his power can fend off those wolves, and he can and does protect his sheep from all the ills of this world. In his divine power, Jesus could call down from the heavens an army of angels to protect his sheep and defeat the devil and all his princes. While that would be an awesome sight to behold, the army of angels is not the power of Christ. It is well within his power, but is not how he expressed his power here on earth. In fact, the fullest expression of Christ's power would look like the greatest weakness to our human eyes. The disciples gathered in the upper room, locked the doors out of fear. Christ appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he showed St. Thomas the visible remnants of his power, which you can see on the icon on the altar. Nail holes, one in each hand. Nail holes, one in each foot. And a stab wound on his side from a soldier's spear. In his moment of greatest weakness, when he was hanging naked and bleeding on the cross, Christ's power was on full display. When he commended his spirit to the Father, the veil of the temple tore in two, the earth shook, the dead were raised, and Satan and all his princes and his plans and his schemes were defeated once and for all. In these last few weeks of this Advent season, we have heard John the Baptist preaching repentance and baptizing the people. And we have heard of the peace and the pardon brought into the world by the one who was laid into a feeding trough by his virgin mother, because there was no room for the family of the Son of God to use in Bethlehem. And that little child, full of divine power, was in such a state of weakness that he relied on Mary and Joseph to protect him in order to do his father's will, to lay down his life for the sheep. Christmas is near. In a few short days, all the world will spring forth in choruses of joy to the world and of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Gifts will be opened. Family dinners will be shared. And all will seem right in the world, if only just for a little while. This wonderful moment, this Christmas joy which brings the world together, is only made possible because of the peace and the pardon which Christ brought into the world, which were brought through his display of ultimate power on the cross. Thanks be to God for the power revealed in Christ's moment of greatest weakness. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on the peace, pardon, and power of Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.